Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In this gospel reading, Jesus brings his disciples on a trip to Jerusalem. And along the way, he teaches them what makes himself and his followers different from the world around them. Christians are different. When Christ entered the heart and life of St. Paul, he was totally changed. In fact, he became so different that the people around him at first were suspicious of him. Later, he could write in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." While the disciples, the apostles, James and John, did not yet understand fully what life in God's kingdom is all about, as we see in our reading today. Jesus had just gotten done telling the disciples what lay ahead for him when they arrived in Jerusalem, that he would be handed over to the chief priests and experts in the law, and they will condemn him to death. They will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock, flog, and crucify him. On the third day, he will be raised. But James and John wanted to be big shots, and their mother was encouraging them in all of this. They wanted seats of great prominence and power and authority in God's kingdom. The height of their pride was revealed when they told Jesus that they were qualified to sit at his right hand and his left. Well, surely they spoke in ignorance. They did not realize what was involved in drinking the cup that Jesus would drink from. The rest of the disciples were no better. They were angry with James and John, but they probably only regretted that they themselves did not first think to ask Jesus that question. The problem that afflicted James and John is the same problem that we have to fight every day. It's our proud and egotistical nature. As Martin Luther put it, this self-centered nature has to be drowned every day by contrition and repentance, and that every day a new man, a new nature, must arise within us. That is something that is possible for us because of our baptism. Because in baptism, our sinful nature is crucified and buried with Christ, and a new Christ nature arises within us to new life, just as Jesus rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. It's good for us to ask ourselves some rather personal and penetrating questions from time to time. Am I either knowingly or unknowingly creating the impression that I'm a better person than I really am? Am I honest in all my words and actions? Is there the suspicion of hypocrisy in my life? Do I exaggerate? Am I reliable? Can I be trusted? Am I jealous, impure, irritable, touchy, or distrustful? Am I self-pitying, self-justifying? Am I proud? Do I thank God that I am not like other people? If so, what am I doing about those things? Well, some Christian churches teach that a Christian can gradually improve his or her behavior to the point that they no longer sin in this life. However, in the Bible, we see quite a different story from the greatest of the apostles, Paul, who, after years of Christian life, could still only say that he was the chief of sinners. Well, in our lesson, Jesus immediately steps in to correct the thinking of James and John. They had indicated that they could endure the same suffering and the same abuse that Jesus was about to suffer. Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink my cup." Yes, they would suffer for the sake of the gospel. However, to be concerned about a place of prominence in the kingdom was completely out of line with the nature of God's kingdom. These disciples did eventually pay the price for following Jesus. James was executed for his faith in Jesus, as were most of the other disciples. Only John, among the 12, was exiled to a lonely island in his old age, where he wrote the Bible book of Revelation. When Jesus said, "You will indeed drink my cup," he made a connection between the suffering that all his disciples would endure for the sake of the gospel and his own suffering. The Apostle Peter writes, "Rejoice that you participate in the suffering of Christ." The suffering of Jesus was a suffering for the salvation of the world. The suffering of Jesus' followers comes as they confess Jesus' name in a hostile world. There is a price to pay for being a Christian. Through the centuries, men and women have had to give their lives for their faith. And still today, in many parts of the world, the Christian life is not at all easy. Some governments are hostile to Christianity and make every effort to thwart mission work and to stamp out Christianity within their borders. There are Christian pastors and missionaries who are languishing in Iranian and North Korean prisons for no other reason than that they have been sharing the good news about salvation through Jesus. And some Christians in Libya, Syria, and Iraq have had their heads cut off for refusing to announce their faith in Jesus. Sometimes the persecution is more relational than physical. In some countries, when people come out of another religion and embrace the Christian faith, they are sometimes disowned by their own families, or they might lose their jobs or lose government benefits. We here in America are fortunate by comparison. We have religious freedom. Yet, even here in America, Christ's words apply. "You will indeed drink my cup." Christian young people especially often find it hard to live out their Christian faith, as they are surrounded by many temptations. Many of my classmates drink or use drugs. Why shouldn't I? Many of my classmates are having sex. Maybe I'm missing out on something. My friends are listening to music with foul or inappropriate language. Why can't I join in with them? These are just a few of the temptations that the devil slings out at young people and at many adults as well. To keep the Christian faith through this myriad of temptations is not easy. But to those whom God has called in Christ, he will give strength to meet every temptation head on and to overcome. In his conversation with the disciples, Jesus said, "You know that the rulers of the nations lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them." The disciples had been misunderstanding God's kingdom and following a mistaken idea about greatness. They were degrading God's kingdom to the level of an earthly kingdom. Jesus pointed out to them the vast difference between those two. Earthly rulers oppress their subjects. They use authority to maintain their greatness and their power. But in Christ's kingdom, love is the compelling force. Christians are different in many ways. God has redeemed us and made us his children. We are new creatures through the forgiveness that Jesus won for us. Jesus even calls us salt. We are to influence our society in the same way that salt gives flavor to food. James and John and all the disciples became different. After Christ had died, risen, and ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit came upon them in power. They were given a new direction and a sense of urgency to spread the good news about Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to us even today to empower us through the word and through the sacrament to renew us and to form us into God's people. The distinguishing mark of the Christian is servanthood. Jesus told his disciples, "Whoever wants to become great among you will be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you will be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah had described the promised Savior, the Messiah, as the suffering servant of the Lord. His entire life was a life of service. Jesus tells us that as the Savior, he did not come to be served, but to serve. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he also washed his disciples' feet as a servant. And at that meal, he gave his disciples his own body and blood to eat and to drink in a way that went beyond their understanding, just as he would give up his body and shed his blood on the cross to pay for the sins of the whole world that very next day. It must have been quite a shock for the disciples to learn that they were not to seek worldly greatness. Rather, they were to become servants and even slaves, helping people spiritually and physically. This, Jesus says, is the mark of true greatness. As we are renewed by Jesus' love and forgiveness, we also learn to demonstrate our faith to others by serving them. There's so much to do. There is a world outside that is full of trouble. Millions in America and billions of people around the world do not know Jesus as their Savior. They must be told. Nursing homes in our country are filled with lonely people. They need a word of encouragement from us. Many teenagers and young people are searching for meaning in life, but often searching in the wrong places. Broken homes and broken lives call us to service. Let us ask God continually to open our spiritual eyes to see the opportunities that he gives to us and the great need that lies before us, and to give us power to make ourselves available to help when help is needed. In times of sickness, someone is needed to lend a hand. In times of discouragement, people need to know that we will try to understand and try to share their burdens. As people know how much we have been helped ourselves, we then become the ones who other people can call on when help is needed. Jesus was straightforward. He points us to the source of faith and to the motivation for servanthood. The bottom line is that he came to give his life as a ransom for many. St. Paul captured the meaning well for us when he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." When St. Paul met the risen Lord Jesus, he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" Jesus responded by identifying himself and then by telling Paul that he had a job for him to do. Jesus' message to Paul is the same message for us today. Jesus is God's very Son. He took on the form of a human, but he never sinned. He was holy, and he died to pay for every sin that you and I have committed. He rose from the grave, and he promises eternal life to all who believe in him. It's a precious promise that changes our whole lives so that the world can see a difference in us. The first century Christians showed their faith by their deeds. This faith in action is something that all of us possess as Jesus and the Holy Spirit live within us. As Jesus said in John chapter 13, "All people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Brothers and sisters, go and show them. Amen.